Text 51551 today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Clare-based GP Dr. Maura Finn is our regular medical advisor, and she's back this morning to talk about medical investigations. Morning, Maura. Thanks for coming in. Listen, the kind of tests your GP might order if you come to them with a health issue, what are they?
Well, to be honest, it depends. It's always driven by the complaint. So the chat we have first, the history taken is the most important thing. So I mean, if you came in to me and you said you had a headache, it may be something that's just come on recently. You might have a temperature, you might have a head cold. And that would lead me to one set of investigations. If it was something more chronic and it was something that the particular story behind the headache might lead me to another set of investigations. So the history taken is the most important starting point. And then we go into the normal in-house investigations, like every doctor needs a stethoscope and a light. And to be honest, we can do a lot with just those two things. But beyond that, obviously, blood pressure, we check that. We check weight and height. And ECG is usually done in-house, which is a heart tracing. Doppler ultrasound for listening to the baby's heartbeat. So there's lots of tests done in-house. But very frequently, we need to kind of go and expand that set of tests and have to refer. Blood tests are usually done in-house too, but we have to wait for those results to come back.
Blood tests seem to be invaluable. Would you normally, is it a routine set first and then see what comes back before opting maybe for a more detailed blood test?
Yeah, we usually, because we have to be careful of how we use the labs as well, because all these tests cost money. So we usually do routine bloods, which would include a full blood count, looking at your white blood cells, hemoglobin, things like that. Looking at your liver function, your kidney function, your glucose, checking for diabetes, lipid profile for cholesterol. And depending on those, then we may be led into more detailed blood results. So for instance, if you had, if your hemoglobin was low, for some reason, it could be because you're losing blood. It could be because you actually have a problem absorbing it. It may lead us to do a celiac screen. So there's different tests that we would do depending. So don't be frightened if you have a recall for blood tests. It actually just means that we just need to pin things down a little bit more. And thyroid function, for instance, that's another thing we do very frequently. And it can give us an awful lot of information.
What about x-rays?
X-rays are done when we're looking for something that either bone, joint or spaces. So it's classic. Most people will have had an x-ray at some stage in their life. It may be because they've fallen and we're checking to see if there's a break. It may be because we're looking for arthritis, so the joints. And chest x-rays are very useful because the air in the lungs comes up very distinctly in a chest x-ray. And you can see then if there's an infection, inflammation or a tumour or something worse.
Ultrasounds?
Ultrasounds are done are actually very useful because there's no radiation at all in them. And they're just sound waves that are bounced off an organ and then transferred by computer into an image. So they're done for organs to see this sound of them, the size of them, and if they are fluid-filled or open. Very frequently done for babies. People will know them when they're pregnant. You'll always have an ultrasound and it's completely safe. There's no radiation. So we try to pick investigations that are least invasive, least expensive and safe for the patient. So you'd try not to move up to the ones that would actually involve radiation unless we really have to.
Some people are scared or they really dislike the idea of a CT scan or an MRI.
Yeah.
They're nervous about them, aren't they?
They are. I mean, a lot of people are nervous from the point of view of claustrophobia. They're afraid that it's going to be very confined. I would say that a CT scan is usually quite quick and you are a little confined, but it's a very short period of time. However, CT scan involves a high dose of radiation, so we don't do those too frequently. And they're most appropriate for certain types of problems. An MRI investigation has no radiation, so it's safer from that point of view. However, it's very long, very loud, and you are confined for a period of time. So people are often very nervous of them. They're also nervous that maybe, you know, we're looking for something sinister. You know, in medicine, what we do, we often do work from the worst case scenario down, you know. So if you came in with a complaint, we would like to check that it's not a tumour. We'd like to check that it's nothing sinister, and then we work from there up. So don't be alarmed if these investigations are done. It's really just to be careful. And thankfully, these diagnostic investigations are much more available to us than they used to be.
Loads of questions from our listeners that were texted into 51551. So I do want to give you as many of them as I can, Moira, from a Sligo listener. What about tests for cholesterol? And also, to what extent is the level of cholesterol determined by genetics and lifestyle?
It's difficult to say what extent the genetics play a part, but we know it is a very significant extent. But your lifestyle, you can do nothing about your genetics, but you can do something about your lifestyle. So what you should do is focus on your lifestyle and do your best to control low fat, low salt, low sugar diet. Cholesterol tests, we usually do a fasting test. It's most important to do it fasting. You get a total cholesterol reading and then you get a HDL and LDL. And these two are a breakdown of your cholesterols. Your LDL is your bad cholesterol. Your HDL is your good cholesterol. You want your LDL to be around 2. You know, you do your best and your total cholesterol around 5. And to be honest, it's a good marker to kind of give you an idea that maybe you need to kind of look at your diet and look at some of your lifestyle issues. The issue around genetics, I'm afraid, I think just leave it. fix the things you can fix.
Deirdre texts in to say to Dr. Moore, what's the reason behind having an echo of the heart? My husband, he's 58, he was recently sent to an emergency department by the GP. Is after listening to his heart, he heard that the heart was skipping beats. He had an ECG, which proved this to be the case, and he's due to have the 24-hour heart monitor fitted next week. What will these tests rule in or out?
Okay, that's a really good question, because if you have a heart complaint, you would imagine that sometimes listening to the heart will tell you something. It will. It'll tell you whether it's regular or whether there's some murmur. Then we do an ECG, which this person had, and it shows the electrical signals of the heart, and again shows you if it's a regular signal, if you're very slow or very fast. Then an echocardiogram is when you're actually looking at the structure of the heart. You're looking at the valves of the heart. Mm. If they're leaking, it could be the reason why you have a murmur, which is a kind of a disturbance in the sounds of the heart. They also look at the chambers of the heart and see how they're functioning. Is your heart pumping properly, and is it pumping effectively? Is it too big? Is it too small? Things like that. Then the monitor, they're saying it could be, there's two 24-hour monitors we do. One is a blood pressure monitor, which is like a cuff that's left on your arm. We check your blood pressure over a 24-hour period, which gives you a very good indication of what it's truly like, as opposed to that kind of come into a doctor, be anxious, have a high blood pressure. And then the other thing that this patient is probably going to have is a Holter monitor, which is where they have leads on, like the heart tracing leads, and you're trying to pick up random missed beats throughout the day, because you can have moments when you'll actually have high, fast beats or missed beats or ectopic beats or irregular rhythms, and it may not be there when you're being examined. So checking it over a 24 or even 48 hour period will often kind of find these misbeats, and it's called a Holter monitor. So there's multiple investigations that you may need for, you know, a heart complaint could even need an MRI test later on, an angiogram, certain, you know, and each particular investigation and each result leads to the next investigation.
Another question for you, Moira. My husband and myself get our bloods checked yearly. Can you please ask the doctor, what should you request to get checked apart from the normal? We always thought if you had early cancer symptoms, this might show up, but I've been told that it doesn't. And should you get this done every 6 months instead of yearly?
Well, it depends on your age. I would say yearly is very good up to a certain point. And if you have an ongoing condition, 6 months is probably what would be recommended. Routine blood results are tests are glucose, cholesterol, hormone profile at certain ages, kidney function, liver function, blood count, ESR, CRP. These are the tests that we do. There isn't. It's a good question, because people do often think that there is a test for cancer. If there was, we would do it on every single person, you know, all the time. There isn't. You can have markers. If you have established cancer, you can have markers that we can check and see how active that cancer is. There's blood tests that tell you if there's a non-specific inflammatory condition going on in your body and you don't know what is wrong. It could be an infection, it could be inflammation, it could be cancer. So these things, and CRPs tend to go very high very fast if you have a bad infection. They can also be high if there's some sort of a low grade in cancer going on, and so it's not specific. And people very, you know, if you were to go in and somebody's like, can you do a CRP for cancer? It's not for cancer. And it's an unfortunate thing that people have come to the conclusion that that's there, because it's not.
It's indicators, basically.
It gives us more information to try and look for something else,
Two more. for you, because then I've run out of time. I have a cold at the moment, said one of our listeners, but experience a severe choking dry cough when I almost cannot breathe. It's really frightening. Should I get a chest scan?
Well, actually, you know, I mean, if it is just a cold, it's probably just very thick snot that's coming down the back of your throat and it's gagging you. You know, if it's coming from your chest and if it's productive from your lungs, yes, you should be investigated. But listening with a stethoscope can tell an awful lot. A chest x-ray is something we do when we actually kind of feel that there's definitely a pneumonia and we need to establish the severity of it, or if we're concerned there's something more. So simple listening tools are actually just as good as anything.
Final one, which is obviously a huge worry for these parents. Hi, Miriam and Moira. We have a soon-to-be 5-year-old little boy who's being assessed for ASD. We don't have a clear diagnosis yet. He's due to start school in September, but with no diagnosis, he can't access supports in the schools. We've been told to assist with his diagnosis, that he should have an MRI, but this is proving to be impossible to get. We've got full health insurance cover, but we can't find anywhere to do the MRI privately or through the public system. Have you any advice on how we could get him an MRI?
Well, I actually have to question that somebody has suggested that he have an MRI. Yeah. I mean, an MRI investigation, you're looking for some structural deficit in the child's brain. And an ASD diagnosis is based on, it's a behavioural and multi-system diagnosis, but they're behavioural, intellectual, emotional issues, not the structural brain.
Autism spectrum.
Yeah, somebody is suggesting that, you know, you want to make sure that your child doesn't have anything more sinister. It's unusual. It wouldn't be normally part of the diagnostic process. And nobody would be inclined to do an MRI in a small child because, like I said, it's very long and very loud. And almost certainly that child would have to be sedated to have an MRI done. It'd be absolutely terrifying. May even need a full anaesthetic to have an MRI done. So they wouldn't do it unless it was absolutely necessary. So I can understand the difficulties they're having.
Dr. Moira Finn, as ever, thanks so much for coming in. After the break, our Friday gathering.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.